Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we took a little vacation, a little time away from the pod.
It happens, man.
I had to go to sea.
A little reset. You made it back from sea.
Yeah.
You didn't get lost at sea.
I didn't get lost at sea.
You know, some people get lost at sea, so glad that wasn't you.
Yeah. You know? On a cruise ship drinking lots of Coronas. You get kind of sick of Bloody Marys and, or not Bloody Marys, Pina Coladas and Miami Vices, and just like, I just basically need water.
Yeah.
To sit in the sun, and but I want to drink, and let's just go. So that was kind of my drink most of the time.
Nice.
But now we have Honkers Ale right in front of us. Oh no, it's a pub ale from Hopewell.
Belly Up from Hopewell. It's a pub ale. So the descriptors are UK hops, malty, floral, and earthy, which all sound a lot like
Honkers.
ESB, like Honkers, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the English sporting beer from Midwest Coast.
It feels a little more malty or heavy than Honkers does, right?
Yeah. How do I describe it? It does feel heavier because it's 4.7 and Honkers is 4.2. This somehow feels like a bigger beer.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also have, I was drinking this a little while ago before we started, the Chicagoland lager from Mars. It's a Polish lager.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty tasty.
Nice.
And then, because we're drinking this Hopewell, I also have these little cans. And these aren't little buddies. These are these THC infused sparkling beverages.
It's in the little buddy can.
Right.
Yeah.
So these are 3 grams of THC, 3 grams of CBD in them. This is the light version of this. There is a non-light version that is the 10 milligrams each. So 20 milligrams in a little buddy can.
That's insanity. People who don't understand numbers, that's insanity.
Right. I saw 3, and so these came in little 4-packs, so I've already had one, I think, when we were out on our boat booze cruise thing, and 3's like a perfect amount.
Can you get this at Hopewell?
I don't know if you can get it at Hopewell, but you can get it at every liquor store. Every place that sells beer is selling these.
Hmm.
And it's basically sparkling lemon lime water,
like a
LaCroix kind of thing.
Gotcha.
With THC in it. I don't understand what the rule is for why the liquor stores are able to sell these, but we have these dispensaries. That was the big deal about who gets dispensary license, but now anyone can sell these beverages. And I've seen edibles at some of these liquor stores too.
Does the dispensary sell beverages at all?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I haven't been to one in a long time.
Okay. Maybe dispensaries don't sell beverages. That's all I can think of.
But then the liquor stores get to sell edibles and beverages.
Which,
but maybe not the smokable stuff.
Like, my mom takes edibles, but her edibles don't have any THC in them. And you can just go anywhere and get these.
Okay.
You know, you can get them at like Costco.
Sure.
I mean, but they don't have, you know, they're just CBD gummies.
Sure.
So maybe, you know, I'm unclear on a lot of this stuff, you know?
Okay.
I don't know.
But yeah, feel free to open up the other little can if you want.
Okay.
It's just kind of a nice little light drink. And I feel like a 3 milligrams is like a perfect. Okay. I'm not going to drink this at Hopewell. I'm not going to go to Hopewell and order one of these.
Have you tried the 10?
No. 10 seems dangerous.
I don't know if they should be making a 10.
10 in like a little. In a little shot glass.
Yeah. But they do make, you know, there's 13, 14% stouts.
Right.
You know, in cans.
But that hits you, like, right away. I don't know what's the difference of, like, liquid ingesting versus eating ingesting. Is it going to hit you? Is 10 going to hit you differently?
I don't know. I don't know.
So, Hopewell's, you know, got the THC. They got the honkers. I don't know. They're doing a lot of stuff.
They're taking the lead from what the Brewers Association says. Like, hey, you know, you guys gotta diversify offerings. You guys gotta have a diverse. I think everybody, if they can, diversify styles, but having different offerings makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Lil Buddy is Lil Buddy's cool because I was in Milwaukee and the only sidecar you could get with Bloody Marys was the Lil Buddy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like at the main, there's the fancy pub downtown in Milwaukee, and that's the only thing they sold.
Oh, neat. That's cool. Yeah, the diversification. I've also seen, like, the Guile is every week now doing flavors of, like, boat shoes or their Kolsch. So today, as we're recording this, it's lemon. Next week is lime, and then I don't know what's beyond that, but
yeah.
So just trying to get people to drink. I don't know. It's kind of going back to the releases every week, but offering like just a twist on everything. Damn. All right, so we got a bunch of places to talk about that we went to over the last couple weeks. Kick us off. Where'd you go?
Man, cheers to Dark Matter. Okay. They turned 17. So that's a lot of time slinging coffee. They turned 17, so they do an annual party. I don't know if you've ever been to this party. It's usually in an open lot right at the corner of like Chicago Ave and Western. It's usually a good hang. You don't even have to RSVP. I think you just show up.
Okay.
And everything's on the house.
Same corner as it was?
No, they actually moved it to around the corner in a warehouse. Apparently Dark Matter has a warehouse right by the metro station right there, the Western metro station.
Mm.
So it's just a few blocks from there.
Okay.
But, yeah, they threw it inside.
Nice.
So there were DJs, there were giant bags of coffee, and it was in their warehouse. And they had 14 revolving drafts, but unlike the outdoor version, there was just one draft station. Oh. So
it was just a big line.
Two at a time. There were two. They were pouring two at a time. So when I was there, it was Lulz from Phase 3, and then a new crew called Valerica. They're in Sawyer, Michigan, and it's an alum of Dark Matter. He's a gold Dark Matter employee.
Okay.
So he had like a English Goldings. He was pouring. I was kind of waiting for it to turn because I wanted to try something else, and I didn't want Lulz.
Yeah.
Because at the other party, it was stations all through that bitch, and it was outside. It was in a big parking lot.
Right. There was like, I feel like the one time I went, there was like three spots to get beer.
Yeah. So this one, you could get beer and food on one end by the stage, and on the opposite end, there was coffee and then cans of beer.
Okay.
So Sapporo.
That's weird.
Cold Time.
Okay.
And there was another one. Oh, and Fifth City.
Okay.
You could get those. And
I have Sapporo.
I'm not sure. Maybe they got something going on with Sporo. But it seems like people are donating beer to this thing. Oh. So, and then there was a mezcal tasting, if you so chose.
Okay.
So that was cool. And then there was food. So ran into the Dark Matter guys. They're expanding to New York City.
New York City.
Right. Lower East Side of Manhattan. So then I'm asking, I'm like, do you know people there? Like, how does this work? And he's like, well, you know, everyone knows them here. They thought about expanding to Austin and LA, but they're like, let's go to New York, man. Nobody knows us in New York. It'll be like starting over.
Right. That's kind of what Stumptown did from Portland. And then they opened up the New York stuff, and people often now think of Stumptown as a New York coffee company, even though Starbucks owns them now. But
oh, yeah. So it's like they're going to open a spot in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, not too far from the original CBGBs. The place is going to be called Adios Amigo. So it'll be a combination of a coffee shop, a restaurant, and like a chocolate bar, kind of like Sleepwalk down in Pilsen, which is their coffee place. Oh. I mean, their chocolate place.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know they had a chocolate place.
Yeah, they do. I only know about it because there was a Mole Fest in Pilsen, and the block that it runs down, the Sleepwalk was in front of it. And I popped in there and I'm like, oh shit, it's Dark Matter Chocolate. Uh-huh. I didn't know that either, though.
Huh.
Yeah. Shit. So, Adios Amigos is the last studio album that the Ramones made.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I guess they're really into like music.
Well, he has a band.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's a ton of.
I'm blanking on the owner's founder's name.
I think his name is Jesse. He said, "I'm Jay."
Jesse Diaz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's talking, and I'm like, "This dude knows a lot. I think this is the guy who owns the joint," because he knew way too much. Because you know, you get to ask, you ask him anything, he just goes into a deep dive.
Sure.
I'm like, "Oh, this must be the guy." But he had on shades, and you know, had those. He looked like dude from Suicidal Tendencies with the braids down the side,
okay,
and a fucking basketball jersey on, big ass shades. So you had no idea who this guy was. You know. Oh, but so you look up Electric Mud is one of the places here that they have. It opens at 6 a.m. at Southwestern. Electric Mud is the name of a Muddy Waters record.
Oh, okay.
So when you look it up, you see the results are Dark Matter and then Muddy Waters. I'm like, oh, so there's really the music.
That makes sense. I thought a lot of them, I guess in my mind, I thought they were all space themed.
There's
Mothership.
The Mothership, Osium.
Star Lounge.
The one across the street from Kuma's in Avondale is Caravansia.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a real thing in the desert. It refers to like some kind of oasis for travelers kind of thing. But yeah, they're an interesting group. I said, you're like the de facto beer choice when it's time for
coffee
For coffee choice for breweries. You know, was that all part of the plan? He was like, you know, not really, but the neighborhood he lives in, you know, one of the founders of Off Color lives over there. Nick Floyd, Frensby Floyd's lives over there. Mm. One of the guys from Half Acre lives over. They all live within like three blocks of each other. It was just really easy to connect with beer people. And they have a similar kind of color palette, he was saying, like with regards to like, you know, presentation and artwork and, you know, image. You know, it was just a natural fit, you know. So, and they, you know, they make clean coffees, they go well with beer, so it all just kind of worked out that way,
right.
But that wasn't the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was cool. Matt Gallagher was there from Half Acre.
Yeah. Did you ask them about Sun Catcher?
They moved the 7 barrel tanks in there a year ago.
Oh.
Yeah, but they're just still working on tap room.
Oh.
Construction delays.
So it's definitely not opening this year.
I don't think so.
Because we're already, not that summer's over, but...
It's mid-July.
Right. And this was supposed to be a place that was kind of seasonal, so.
Yeah, so I don't think you're getting it this year.
Okay.
Unless they change that whole seasonal thing, which, you know, would be okay.
Right.
But, yeah. But I'm not even sure where it is. And I kind of want to ride by to see where
what's happening.
But, yeah, but I don't think it's on track for this year.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a good hang. So cheers to them. I didn't realize they were 17 years old.
No, me either. So. I feel like they just, in my mind, I've been drinking them for so long, but I remember kind of when they started or like around that time of them being like, you basically had Metropolis and then Dark Matter showed up. Those were your only coffee choices in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, New York City is probably like a 90-minute flight from Chicago. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, man, we're just going to rent an apartment in the Lower East Side. Like, you'd be surprised how affordable it is to live in Manhattan versus living in, like, Williamsburg or, you know, anywhere else in Brooklyn nowadays.
Oh, really?
But getting an apartment in Lower East Side, like, it wasn't too crazy. This was actually way cheaper than living in Brooklyn.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I've only been down there once. Like, those bridges, like, if you get on the Williamsburg Bridge from Brooklyn... You can walk right over it to Manhattan. It's actually a pretty cool walk.
Oh, I've only been to New York a couple times and only been in Manhattan.
Yeah. But Lower East Side is it's an interesting space.
Nice.
So, good for them, man. It sounds like that's the challenge they were looking for.
Nice. Well, that's cool. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Any other spots or anything else you hit up?
I think worth
mentioning?
I think that's all I can remember I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I did pop into Peace for a beer. I was waiting for Maeve to get a haircut, so I was just like, I'll just stop in here. Good. It was good. I don't know. Nothing. I feel like this, we've talked about Peace, and there's just something lacking in Peace anymore.
Hmm. That's too bad.
So, but they're still making beer. It's still, it doesn't taste bad.
They're still making it, man.
They're still making it, unlike some of the folks out there who aren't making it anymore. And then I did stop in at Ravinia, who is still having this trouble with Ravinia Festival.
Okay.
I saw, I think, an Instagram post from them yesterday that was like, oh, we're having, you know, we're struggling. And Ravinia Music Fest is, like, putting up this fight. So it's like they're trying to be like, these people are coming after small business kind of thing. So yeah. If they lose this, that probably is the end of Ravinia.
Damn.
That's kind of...
And they got two locations, don't they?
Right.
Ravinia Festival is technically a nonprofit, but they got deep pockets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I stopped in there. It was after a couple other stops. And we were looking for somewhere with food. You know, they have food. Food, not good. I didn't go with the tacos.
Okay.
Which I should have just went with the tacos because I know they'd be good.
This is basically a taco bar, Ravinia.
They have a bigger menu than they used to anymore. They had a smash burger on here.
Smash burger.
Which, we have a lot of smash burgers in this city.
Yes, indeed. I have a list.
Yeah, me too. And this was... one that sits at the bottom of my list.
Oh, wow.
It was not great.
Was it, you know, sometimes my problem with some smash, air quotes, is that it isn't really as thin enough to get the lacing and the crispy edges. And they're calling it a smash, but it ain't really flat enough to be a true smash. It was, yeah. Were you seeing some of that? Or
it wasn't like true, like, biker burger smash, like region kind of smash.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, like those are smash burgers.
Yeah, the other ones are smash. Anything you smash is technically a smash.
But you know what I mean. I feel like there's tiers to it.
How smash. It just lacked flavor.
Okay.
And then I had the burrito, the steak burrito. Someone forgot to put any seasoning on this thing.
I have a question about the seasoning. Involved
and this was after I don't know, we were out drinking on the river at a couple other spots, so usually at that point you're like, any food is great food. Not this food.
It cut through your desire to just really get down on some food.
I was like mad that we like decided to go there out of all the other places we could have gone for food.
That's
and
funny.
Made me upset that I didn't just get the tacos that thought were good, but now I'm questioning, are the tacos still good?
I mean, I think this town is a moving target when it comes to good food places. We talked about this earlier. I live by Smoke Barbecue. I thought Smoke was, you know, best in class when I first had it. And now that I live by it, I don't think that anymore. In fact, I'm not really a fan anymore. And part of it could be because I've gone a few times and I'm changing and I just don't like it. Or part of it, they just mail it in. El Patron is like that for me now. Right. I actually think it was great. I don't think it's that great anymore. You know, I think the more you go to these places, I mean, the title of the best is going to constantly change. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. The beer was still good at Ravinia. So, but I know a couple episodes ago we had them as like, were they on our top five?
They were in our conversation.
I don't think they made top five, but they were like
you expanded
on the
it
edge.
To 10 or so. Yeah, we talked about them being redacted.
Yeah. I think they were maybe we were tying them with like Haymarket as like an option. Although I haven't eaten at Haymarket in a long time.
Well, Haymarket's kind of no frills. You know, well, listen, we got this pizza. We got this burger.
And they got them do their own sausages.
You know, we got these sweet potato tots. It's a short list. We ain't really mixing it up. You want this Claire's Thirsty Ale or not? Like, that's kind of Haymarket's offer. You want this Matthias or not?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where they hang. I think that's where they would get the edge, I think.
Right, but Ravinia's got these tacos. We got a lot of taco places. And now add a smash burger because everyone has to have a smash burger now. And it's like, man, I don't know. Your smash burger better be good to compete with all of these burgers.
There's some pretty good burgers out here.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking.
I just saw an ad for our Instagram for the new small bar, Logan spot.
Patty, please
is doing that. That looked good.
Pretty good shit. Yeah. You know, that's the same crew that does Sublime. Mm. This is their sister project. It's the exact same team.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, you got Patty Please and Sublime and Chicago Secret Burger and Biker Dude and, you know, shit. You talked about the region. I actually like the region. Some people don't like their sauce.
Oh, really? Yeah, sauce. But then you just got Red Hot Ranch.
It was funny. I was at a night like yours, and I was just like, just go to Red Hot Ranch. I mean, shit, it's open. It's right here. And, you know, that burger was on time.
Right.
I was shocked. I'm like, I thought I had no faith. It was really good. Yeah.
So, I don't want to see Ravinia close or go away or anything like that. But I think the expanding the menu maybe was something they had to do to get people that didn't just want tacos in there, but they're still making good beer. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd go eat. I think the last time I ate there, I went for like a brunch, which that was pretty good.
They got a rooftop.
Yeah.
I mean, after Midwest Coast and Ravinia, I think that's the end of the list for breweries with rooftop. Oh, well, Bishi, Midwest Coast, and Ravinia. And that's it for rooftop breweries. So they got that going for them.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. Maybe they'll dial it in for you next time you go.
Figure that out. We cut you from the list.
Wow.
Did I hit up anything else? I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. No, that's probably it.
Okay.
That's worth talking about at least. So yeah, we gotta get back out there. There's still plenty of drinking time left in the summer.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're gonna have pretty decent weather clear through October probably. Yeah. So
we got time.
Got time.
Yeah. In the news front, we're talking about, we don't want Ravinia close, but we are seeing another brewery close. One Trick Pony.
What town is that? It's not Homewood. It's I think it's Lansing.
Okay.
I think it's Lansing, Illinois. So Lansing is on the border right before you hit Indiana, right before you hit the Munster.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been to One Trick Pony once or twice.
Were they the ones that did the rainbow cone thing during the Brewers Conference?
Wasn't that
not the Brewers Conference, Craft Beer Week.
I thought that was Open Outcry and Horse Thief Hollow.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was them.
Okay.
But Horse Thief Hollow, One Trick Pony, it's easy to kind of get those confused.
Yeah, Open Alliance out there, right? Or One Alliance.
I don't know where that is.
That's like in that little Dubai little area.
No, because there's a Toys for Tots out there that I used to volunteer at.
Okay.
And whenever and Santa came out there, you know. And Santa, you know, is saying, yeah, we got all these gifts. You know, we're armed federal agents. And I remember all this stuff, so I took a lot of pictures with Santa. Oh, but anyway, my geotag said something like it's not Little Dubai, but it's something like that. It's like a little Middle Eastern community out there. And when you look at your iPhone, it says that on the tagging. So I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah.
It's just southwest of the city, wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why we're talking about this.
Well, that's where like one.
Oh, that's where one alliance is.
They're like right there on the edge.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Lansing, deep south burbs out there by, fucking.
Basically Indiana.
It's very close to Indiana. Yeah.
But yeah, they're closing. I think they ran into stuff with the rent or lease or whatever kind of there. So that's it for that. I never went, so my fault.
I went once. Well, you know, but I got family out that way, so every time I went, I dug it. So, you know, the guy who ran Low Res did a interview with Beer Simple.
Okay.
And he was saying that it's a common story. Like, hey, you know, 90% of your business is wiped out overnight if you're not in packaging. And then how, you know, it's really hard to recover even after the loans. It's really hard to get back on track. So I think what you're seeing now is like probably the still those waves affecting people after pandemic.
Well, yeah, you hear about now everyone's kind of in the phase where they're now having to pay back these loans. We are in the like,
I think
you got to be making the money and paying the loans back.
Yeah. Now. I think the only way you could keep the money and get it forgiven is if you prove that.
That was the PPP loans with the EID.
So there was a different set of loans after that?
EIDL loans were another loan.
So PPP potentially forgiven if you were actually paying people.
Right.
But those loans are most people are cool with. It's another set of loans that people are not.
These
cool
were with the like Small Business Administration at like a low interest rate.
Oh, those loans are probably coming due.
Right. So they're due.
So it's probably a lot because you got J.W. Wakefield down in Florida. They said they're going to a contract model.
Okay.
The business is booming, but their rent is too high. They're like, dude, I use like what? I use 20% of this space for making all the money because the tap room's small compared to the brewery.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck this brewery. We'll contract brew. We'll go find a space in a cheaper neighborhood because they're basically in a super trendy neighborhood in Miami. Even if the business is working, even if they're selling beer,
sure,
they still said this is too much. We can't, overhead's too much for people. Most people don't own the spaces they're in.
Right. That's really what we saw with Metropolitan, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
The space was working.
Yeah, space was for sure. It was probably the best of us. If we're talking tap rooms in city proper, that might have been the best one.
Right. But they had too much space because they were also still packaging, or they were packaging a lot. A lot was going out. Pretty sure stuff wasn't selling, so the amount of space they had for the brewery was too much. If they wouldn't have had all that space and was just brewing enough.
What if they were brewing at Great Central and all they had was a little tap room like the one they had in Malt Room?
Sure, then yeah, I don't know. Then what are they, right?
They might get lost.
Yeah.
That tap room was fucking killer, man.
Yeah, so they could have like ditched most of the actual like office and brewery space and just had like a couple tanks. Maybe, but you know, all that's hindsight for.
But yeah, you're seeing closures. I think if people are willing to talk about it, because it's probably hard for people.
Right.
If people are willing to talk about it, they're coming out saying, "Hey, this all is really just from the pandemic. It's just taken this long to get it to close."
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then we saw out that way too. The open outcry brewer left.
Yeah.
Which. They were just bought by someone, right?
Open Outcry did just change hands.
And so now they lost their brewer, but they were bought by non-beer? I don't know anything who bought them, but.
Who's to say the people that had them before were beer people?
Right.
I don't know.
With all the breweries closing, they should be able to get a brewer pretty easily.
I wonder why the brewer left. I saw like a buy post, but I wonder why he left.
Yeah, I don't know. So, who knows what comes of there? And then, what was the other thing? Now I'm blanking. Those were the ones who closed. What was the other thing we were talking about before the show?
Is moving into the old Urban Brew Lab space.
Yeah.
So that's in Ravenswood it's North Ravenswood, closer to like Foster.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually right next to the old Koval, right next to the original Metropolitan.
Right. So now you'll have, if you're coming down Irving Park and going in, you'll have Beguile, Dovetail,
Demo
Forbidden Root.
And Forbidden Root. Yeah.
And then you're at Spiteful
and Hefiger.
Hefiger.
Yeah, it's a pretty good run. So that's a good bike ride day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you think Iswas becomes anything? I feel like every time I've had one, I'm like, oh, whoa, these are good.
Yeah. It's mostly like it's Belgian and Saison focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you see them at Beguile and you're confused about what it is, right? The bottles and stuff.
Like
non-people who are attacked or non-people who know what's happening.
If you don't know him, he was a brewer at Pipeworks when I met him.
Okay.
Mike Shalow. So he brewed at Pipeworks, and then he started his own thing, as was super small batch stuff. But if you don't know that, then you probably don't know him. And then what if you're just detached from the store, right? Like, but Guile's not going out of their way to just have, like, you can buy Iswas beers and bottles, but there's no Iswas experience there necessarily, right?
Iswas isn't on tap.
See, exactly. So it's like, you know, I think this is probably better for him than that, right? He's done a few collabs, and then you're likely to see his stuff, like, at bars. So I don't know if it's hard to have an on-premise presence, an on-premise image if you don't have your own space. It's kind of hard to have that, so.
Right.
He's kind of betting on himself.
Yeah, which is awesome. But you're a brewery that's been around for 5 years now, and no one knows who you are, so you're basically a new brewery.
Oh, from this standpoint, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're basically new. Yeah, because no one's walked through your doors and had your beer. No one knows what you like aesthetically, right?
Yeah.
So it's a brand new thing. Yeah. So we'll see. I only went to Urban Brew Labs once. I thought they did a good job. They got a nice bar. They built the space out because it wasn't a tap room before. It was like
no, and they like built that tap room out themselves, right? Him and his wife kind of did it.
So curious to see what it looks like after these guys go in.
Right. It must not have changed at all since.
How about fucking Malt Row, man? Malt Row, a brewery closes, another brewery opens in Malt Row more than anywhere else, probably.
Yeah, that is weird.
That's funny. I mean, Raven, Metropolitan left, and then in comes Urban Brew Labs. Urban Brew Labs leaves, in comes fucking Iswas. Band of Bohemia disbands, in comes Forbidden Root, you know. In comes fucking Demo, right? It's just, it's interesting how they it seems to constantly evolve. The beer scene in Malt Row evolves probably more than anywhere else. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, or even we didn't even talk about the big one. It was Hot Butcher, Half Acre left. Hot Butcher came in. Yeah, there's a lot of moves happening in the old Malt Row.
Forgetting about Hot Butcher.
Yeah.
I think I didn't drink them enough before they even really had a space. And now that they have a space, they slip my mind that it's there. I think part of me wishes it was still Half Acre.
Mm.
And they sold those burritos.
Hot Butcher is a national brand.
Really?
I mean, they're in like 22 states. They sell beer in China. They say we can get beer to China in 4 weeks.
So does Moody Tom.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Moody Tom's doing, they just turned 10, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Moody Tom just turned 10. They're doing 2,500 barrels a year. So that's like Wild Onion. Okay. Those are Wild Onion numbers. So not a ton of beer. Most of their beer is being sold probably at that sushi place in New York City and at their...
restaurant.
Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah.
So 10 years is a good accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Nothing to sneeze at. Homewood Flossmoor turned 28.
Really?
Yeah. Homewood Flossmoor is 28 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to our original, if you look at the landscape, where do we go make that beer? Emmett's?
Yeah.
The oldest breweries in the region are all in the suburbs, whether it's Wild Onion, Two Brothers, Three Floyds, Emmett's, fucking home of Flossmoor.
Flossmoor Station.
Oh, sorry, Flossmoor Station. Thinking out of high school.
Rock Bottom, Warrenville.
Rock Bottom. All the oldest breweries in this area are all suburban breweries, pretty much. So.
Lunar. Did you say Lunar?
I didn't say. I did not say Lunar, Brad. But Lunar is included, right? Only time I've been to Lunar was with your ass.
Lunar will outlive everyone.
In 2035, there'll be a dude at a bar in a Lagunitas IPA hoodie, and Lunar will be selling barrel-aged beers with fucking disco ball and strobe lights and it will look the same way it looks today. Yeah,
there'll be a Christmas tree up in the corner, and it's, I don't know, any month. Name the month.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So good for them. Morfest is coming up this weekend. Okay. Up in Auto Mall. Oh, Huntley. On Auto Mall Drive.
Oh, over there. Okay. In the big one. They do have a lot of space there.
Yeah. It's going to be 93 degrees Sunday, dude. Saturday.
So you're not going.
I'm not going. No. I'm staying in the house.
Fair enough.
What else is going on?
Oh, we were talking about Metropolitan, and I was... Or people not attached to it. I was over there waiting for her to get on a boat out of the Rockwell stop there.
Rockwell on the river.
River, yeah. Some people tried to go to Metropolitan. They hadn't heard it closed.
That's funny. So they were trying to go.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there is a sign there that says Soul and Smoke is opening a space or taking over that space, or it's going to be beer and food there.
Good for them. Good for Soul. I like the Soul and Smoke guys. I'm surprised they're going in there. Well, not really, because they set up shop just outside of
It's still Metropolitan. Open.
Yeah.
Like, you could still get food there. There's literally, it's just people waiting to get on boat.
It's a natural fit for them if they're already there.
Mm-hmm. They'll crush it because that space is great.
The argument was, I don't know what bar I was at. They were like, you could have put Finch, if Finch set up shop in the Metropolitan space, which was the plan,
right,
the Finch would have killed it. And part of me is like, I don't know if I agree. Part of me thinks that's ridiculous to say, but if we take a step back, that's not the wrong assessment. Because right, the space is that good.
Yeah.
The space is that good. A lot of people will win in that space. Mm-hmm. So good for Soul and Smoke. Soul and Smoke.
Anything else before we wrap it up here?
I think that's it, man.
Damn, okay.
I don't have my phone. I would look at my phone. That always helps. Gotta get it fixed, man.
Oh, Short Fuse.
Oh, yeah, Short Fuse.
That, right. I almost forgot about this. The Short Fuse, Nick broke this story.
You're welcome, Chicago, back in like fucking February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they had bought the IP and recipes to Metropolitan.
And they've been making like crankshafts since fucking March.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were going to roll out the brand, I think, in the next week, or like start to be like Short Fuse Metropolitan beers. I don't know how they're... But they're pushing that back now because they said the beer isn't... They don't have enough, and it's not up to the quality that they want.
Yeah.
So first off, the quality you want, you have the recipe. I know every system is different.
Every system is different. That would be the main difference. And, you know, but now the water's different, too, because they're in Schiller Park, which is not Chicago, so the water might be different. Okay. I don't know nothing about Schiller Park.
I don't know.
Yeah. Water might be different. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. You know? They might have that water tower water.
So they're rolling that back or pushing that back. And this seems like this constantly seems like the dumbest thing ever.
Right? What part of it seems dumb?
One, that we have not seen old brand come back and then do well again.
That's a fact.
Sipes?
Sipes is up in Milwaukee now with their being brewed at Pilot Project. And Doug from Metro is a consultant on that project. So their beer, if they say set a release date up there, it's probably going to be ready by the release date because Doug's on board up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only one that possibly, but that's a weird, like, it feels like a novelty thing.
It's not the original Sipes because they reimagined what some of those beers would taste like. Mm-hmm. You know, those are Metro original recipes. The second one was anyway.
Yeah.
The obvious example is Bader Brow that was in the suburbs, you know, I don't know, we'll say Mount Prospect. You know, they spent too much money, they died. Goose resurrected the brand. They won a JBF medal with that brand. And then they said, this is great. We're tired of selling a beer called Bader Brow. We're just gonna call it Goose Golden Pills. Mm-hmm. Right. And then Goose was done with it. Then the guys Rob and those guys from Chicago, they resurrected the brand again. They brewed it at Argus. They bought the space that is now Moody Tongue. They spent too much money on that, so they blew their wad, and then it died again.
Yeah.
Right. That's the cloak. But they were successful for a quick second because they built the space that Moody Tongue is in is the exact same space that it was when Beta Bra was there. Moody Tongue just painted everything all black.
Sure.
So they were winning for a second, but they made this agreement that because whoever owned that space wanted to turn it into condos, and they said, hey, if you let us do this and turn it into a restaurant, we'll step up our rent every year.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't keep up with that promise, mm-hmm. so they had to close.
But the Metropolitan brand, we're saying it did well at the River Space.
Yeah.
For people that didn't really know Metropolitan, they love the space, they're going to drink the beer, the parties were always busy.
Yeah.
And then everyone who knew the beer liked the beer because of Doug and Tracy.
Yes. And then, you know.
And the beer was good.
Right. Unless we should leave with that. They were making good beer. And it lended
to the last can stuff. Something happened with their can.
Something was off with when we did the Oktoberfest lineup. Afterburner did not fare well, surprisingly. Yeah.
So something was off. But so then to come back with this brand that failed, like it didn't make it. Or it made it for 15 years.
Yeah, so it's, you know, fail is a subjective term. I mean, 15 years is a good run.
Right.
You know? And it wasn't like, well, they had to sell their assets because they got into a fucked up deal with their landlord.
Sure.
So
failed, maybe not right.
You know, could you use that word? Sure. I mean, but 15 years of making those lagers,
but
is that a failure?
If they saw a light at the end of that, like, okay, if we can just get through this for two more years, then we're back making money. They obviously didn't see that.
Side note, the rumor is that it's in the comments too, on the IG comments. IG comments are gold for this Metropolitan IG account, by the way. That they lost the bid. The people that were runner up in the bid that Short Fuse won were the original owners. So they were Doug and Tracy.
Oh.
So they Short Fuse outbid them. And then Short Fuse kind of, in one of these comments, Short Fuse kind of says, hey, we wanted to do right by them and offer it to them at the price we bought it for, and it just didn't work out.
Okay.
This is in the comments of the Metro IG post.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
So, yeah, there's the idea that Metro went away. We don't need Metro anymore, right?
I think we said our goodbyes, a proper goodbye,
yeah.
A proper send-off, a proper farewell to Metro. People who live in Chicago already said goodbye to this brand.
Yeah.
So this, I love the zombie Metropolitan to tag, or the Weekend at Bernie's Metropolitan.
Okay.
But that, so from that standpoint, it's all weird because we already said goodbye to Metro.
Right. And then you have Short Fuse, which I don't mind Short Fuse.
Yeah.
They are, I don't know. They're like Burning Bush, right? It's like, that's all right. Some things disappoint. Some things win. But I'm not often going out of my way to go there.
When I come home from work, I got two choices. Short Fuse and Metropolitan. I end up at Short Fuse if Metropolitan's, I'm sorry, Short Fuse and Microphone.
Right.
I'll end up at Short Fuse if Microphone's closed that day.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm going to Microphone. But what you're saying, like, Short Fuse has a Phobat medal. Short Fuse has a GABF medal. That means on those days, the people who make beer, their peers thought that their beer was the best example of that beer that they submitted.
Sure.
This is their peers talking. This ain't us because, you know, those awards, they don't really resonate with the public. I'm just saying like that, but that happened at Short Fuse twice. Once at Phobat, once at GABF.
And the location is great. It's right by all the Rosemont stuff. So you're kind of getting some of that spillover from people going to Chicago Dogs, just going to the outlet mall, going to a convention.
Or, you know, you got time to kill before your flight.
That's true, too. So it's just it's a brewery that, like, you want it to be better and make better. If they're going to do Metropolitan stuff, do it right.
Yeah.
But if you're pushing it back because it's not right, but yeah, you have the recipes. And you were already making some weird beers to begin with.
Oh, you're not in on the gummy beer, wit beer known as Berry White?
Right.
It's a fun name.
Sure.
Yeah. On paper, it's a good fit for Metro.
For Short Fuse?
It's a good fit for Short Fuse because they have all stouts, fruited kettle sours, and wheat beers and hazies. So they didn't have any of these classic styles. So on paper, if you infuse the Metro stuff, it's a good look for them. But
you could go to the internet and be like, classic lager recipe. Boom. Right? Like,
but saying ain't doing. These are the hardest beers to make. These are the hardest. Everybody who makes beer will always tell you, like, these are the hardest beers to make. And in their simplicity, you cannot hide. You cannot hide any flaws in the simplicity. So if you're not dialed in on making this beer, it's going to show.
Right.
So, I don't know, man.
Because that would be bad for them if people who were expecting Metropolitan beers show up there and be like, these aren't good. And then that gets back out there to other beer people or their actual customers who are going to drink these old man beers. These don't taste like what they should. No one's going.
This is a rough spot for Short Fuse.
And like, it has to be perfect. You need Doug in there to be like, that tastes like crankshaft.
If you had 100, because the assets sold for 100K. If you want to do this the right way and get people who already don't like you because of all the reasons we named, and or don't like you just because you're in the suburbs and probably the most beloved tap room we've ever seen is now being made in fucking Short Fuse. If you want to do this right, if you care about that kind of shit and you want to do this right, then you would have brought them in. You'd have brought them in minimally to walk you through this transitional phase. You know, because if you had 100K to buy the assets, you probably had a little more bread that you could have gave them.
Some consulting.
To get it done the right way.
Right.
This is the worst case scenario for fucking Short Fuse. Yeah. It's making for good fodder, but for them it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think most of the people that go to Short Fuse don't even give a shit, don't know anything about this, didn't even know they had an Instagram kind of thing.
I agree.
So it may not matter.
I think this is just a speed bump. This is just a speed bump, and the people, Short Fuse's core audience, will not care.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
They now have more options.
Yeah. They're going to be like, give me a beer that tastes like Bud Light. They'd be like, coming right up.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That, and at the end of the day, that's all they wanted. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, on that, we're going to end it. We're going to get out of here. We should be back next week with another episode. Otherwise, we'll be back soon. That'll do it. Take care.
Cheers.